So there's a lot going on at the moment. If you go on the internet, there's a lot of people talking about the Georgia Guidestones, trying to maintain humanity under 500 million people in perpetual balance with nature. You also had the World Economic Forum with a lot of videos and the key statement going around the internet at the moment, you'll own nothing and be happy. There's also talk about the Chinese credit system being rolled out worldwide. Then you also have talk about the central bank digital currencies, the elimination of cash. So it can get a bit lost at the moment, especially what's going on. And we also have a conflict in Ukraine and Russia with lovely intervention from Western countries and NATO allied countries. I guess we should all be looking for solutions. What's some solutions? What's some area of focus? So today I thought I'd share with you three resources which I use to help me get better with permaculture, get better with just growing food better, little tips and tricks. So let's jump in and have a look. So the first area where first resource I came across, which is very useful, especially with setting up like a off-grid kind of decentralized kind of system, was the KalishEcoVillage.org. And that was started in 2007 by Ollie and Mitra Exon. And they bought a rundown block of apartments. I think they call it like a cabana apartments in the US, in Portland, I think it was. And they started depaving the parking space. And today they have a huge permaculture co-living space and urban food forest, actually. So I just had a look on YouTube at a little video blog from there. And so just a bit of a introduction. The Kailash Eco Village has 55 residents. And they all help with the farm. There used to be, on this area, there used to be grass, a swimming pool, and used to be just overgrown with weeds. So pretty much the community is there. They're well prepared for a system collapse, so to speak. So how do they do this? Well, they collect a lot of the rainwater and they store it. And they also produce a lot of their own produce. And they also process their own sewage. So this is very interesting to see. A little bit more with the sewage treatment. So they have a permanent sanitation project, and it complies with all the international building codes for composting, toilet, and they also do the division of urine as well. And they turn the pee and the poop into nitrogen and compost. They collect all the poop. It takes about 12 months to decompose. And they also, every individual collects their own urine, and then they mix it with water, and they let it sit for a while and mix it with water. But you can go and have a look on their website or on their YouTube video about it. So this eco village or co-village is pretty much like most things are shared. They also have two community electric cars, which was donated by the founders because they no longer have a private car. They also share bicycles. They also have bike trailers. And they have extensive fruit orchards, berries, grapes, and different patches, and a very big community garden. They also have photovoltaics, which provides about 2/3 of the energy needed by the complex. And they also have a community full-time farmer. And his name is Neil Robinson. And he also, whatever's left over, they also go to the local farmers markets and sell their excess food. So this Neil Robinson, he moved. The reason why he moved in there was just to prepare for a system collapse. So he wanted to learn more about growing his own food or growing your own food, that they would have another system to step in. So they have water, they have food. They're in a zone which is like an earthquake zone, so it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So that's why I was really keen on trying to explore and experiment with living off-grid. So he's saying if there is an earthquake, it could potentially be a Richter 9 earthquake, and, you know, the power grid could go out, the sewage grid would go out, and it would take months and probably even years before it gets back on. So That's one of the motivating factors for him to get involved in this project. And he's saying the sanitation project can absorb 60 adults for months. And with this co-village, the rents are a bit lower than normal. So this is the US city of Portland. And they have about a 300-person wait list, actually. But the owners are hoping that this would spread to other areas. So instead of people wanting to come here and live, that they would start and be motivated to start their own. He points out that if complex owners, if they try and get something going in their city that would be in their unit complex, then turning the maintenance over, turning the just grassed and pavement car park into like a community garden, then you'd get the residents to work in it and stuff. So the maintenance, you wouldn't have to pay someone. So it wouldn't be a maintenance cost. Oh, we could go and have a look at their website quickly. So they have a website, as I mentioned before, kailashcovillage.org. So it's K-A-I-L-A-S-H and then co-village. So they have several different types of gardens and they have a lot of different programs. They say 1/3 of the garden space is dedicated to individual garden plots. So every person has their own garden plot. Plus they have community areas where they all work and help out. So it's a community group managed gardens, a lot of them. So they have 41 individual garden plots. They have shared community garden space for garden projects. They have fruit orchards. They have 53 fruit trees, which includes cherries, pears, plums, pawpaws, peaches, walnuts, hazelnuts, figs, apricots. So they have quite a lot. They have about 400 feet of grapevines. They also have berry patches, 34 blueberry bushes, about 200 feet of raspberries, 80 feet of marionberries and blackberries. They also have a bamboo microforestry project, so about 350 feet of three varieties of bamboo, including golden timber. They also have a garden tool shed and tools, multiple gardens, so with different ideas like Japanese, native plants, butterfly area. They also have rain gardens and wetlands, including wildlife habitat gardens for amphibians, a forest garden, so it's modeled after the food forest concept, greenhouse and tool area. So it's a very nice resource. I get a lot of tips from here. There's also, they got a circular garden, they got a Zen tea house. They also found a pond, actually, underneath the car park as they're digging. So that was a good find from many years before. They also show their planting methods for potatoes. Got also lots of tips for harvesting plums and drying peppers in the greenhouse. They also got lots of pumpkins, sweet corn. So they got a lot of resources there. A few mini greenhouses and sunflowers, dwarf sunflowers, pumpkins, a lot of beans. And there's got a lot of pictures from their tool area, cherry trees, and just drying like beans. So there's a lot of resources on there. So they got a lot of different projects, especially their sanitation, rainwater harvesting, soap making, emergency preparedness. So there's also a project where they did with an intersection just on the street outside. So they made it a bit more, I guess, community friendly. So there's a lot of stuff you can go in there and have a look and have a see. I got a lot of tips from there. So that was one tip I got, one resource that I use and get some tips from. The next second one is EcoVillage as well, but that's actually ecovillageithaca.org. Ithaca is I-T-H-A-K-A, so it's ecovillageithaca.org. And that was established in 1991, and it's become a mature communal village. So they've got like three different neighborhoods, and these houses are just developed on 10% of the land. So 90% of the land is developed for farmland and natural areas. So if we go to their website, Eco Village Ithaca, they've got some lovely pictures on there Welcome to Ithaca Village. Yeah, part of a global movement seeking to create positive solutions to the social, environmental, and economic crisis our planet faces. But they also have the same thing. They got a lot of, you can go there and learn a lot as well. They also do a lot of teaching. They have permaculture design. They do the permaculture design principles and also do a lot of teaching and education workshops on land restoration as well. They also have a lot of farming and food tips and groundswell. It's like a project where to expand more into the community internationally as well. So these guys are based in the US as well. So it's great to see they have like a lot of community spaces, community kitchen. Yeah, it's very much focused on growing your own food as well, but also education, educating others. And the third resource, which I use a lot, is actually from Rob Greenfield. Now, I first came across Rob, his videos on YouTube, when I was, because I'm involved in zero waste groups and I'm trying to also create more awareness, and I do workshops, plastic recycling workshops. So his videos came up on my feed when I'm trying to look for resources and tips and tricks. I saw one where he dresses up in all his plastic that he's been using. He's been known to, some people say, embark on projects where he's extreme projects, they call them, but I guess they're extreme if you're raising awareness. So people see, think they're extreme when you dress up in all your plastic rubbish that you use or consumed. But he's also been covered by National Geographic, and he's got the nickname the Robin Hood of Modern Times by France 2 TV. Actually, Rob has a philosophy, life philosophy of be the change you wish to see in the world. So I think after watching his videos, I think it is a good motto, and he leads by example. Rob also believes in that our actions really do matter, that as individuals and communities, we have the power to improve the world around us. And Rob donates 100% of his media earnings to grassroots nonprofits and has committed to living simply and responsibly for life. I've seen a few of his videos and content on YouTube, but if you go to his website, www.robgreenfield.org, there's a lot of resources there, projects, videos, blogs, speaking, press, contact. You can also check out Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. But just while we're on the website, he's got one project is like food freedom. So for 1 year, I saw him setting up. He grew and foraged 100% of his food. So he didn't go to any grocery stores, no restaurants. That was his goal, so no exceptions. So even if he was hungry, he just had to forage and find his food in the natural environment or what he grew. Pretty much nature was his garden, and he had to fill up his pantry, and also was his pharmacy. He didn't actually have land of his own, so he turned front yards into gardens and shared the produce with the community around. So there's a video on this where he shares the journey, and there's also, I think he shared it on Facebook and Instagram as well. His focus was there, yeah, we need to rely less on the industrial food system and create food sovereignty in the community. So he's creating a lot of awareness about that. Also, he's involved in zero waste activism. So he's from the US, and he says that, you know, the average American creates 4 pounds of trash every day. And he says that not many people think twice about this. And he's saying that once in a garbage can, it's like out of sight, out of mind, and everyone just goes on with their daily lives. So he wanted to create awareness about this, as I mentioned earlier. Well, for 30 days, he lived just like the average US American and wore every piece of trash he created, pretty much like the bag, bin man. Big long bags on his legs, on his tummy, and on his arms and around his neck. So just picture that. That's pretty much for 30 days. He just kept on putting what he consumed into these bags and had to walk around with them. So he recommends living simply. So when he was preparing these community gardens, and his philosophy is to live a simple life. So he has vowed to earn less than the federal poverty threshold, and he lives without a bank account, a credit card, and monthly bills, insurance, and debt. So his last home was a 100-square-foot tiny house built from secondhand materials. He owns around 44 possessions, no car or cell phone. This is as he currently travels, so he uses his bike a lot. So he lives for the benefit of the earth, our global community of humans and all species. So he's saying we should all live deeply, purposefully and joyful life. So you could say that's an extreme example. But I think he creates a moment for self-reflection in others to instigate change. So I think it's good what he does. You can also get some great tips from this. Also, it's creating awareness about food waste. So food waste is very high also in the US. From what he's saying is half of all the food in the US is wasted, while 1 in 7 US Americans and 1 billion Earth citizens are food insecure. So this is a very big problem. Even in Europe, we have a lot of food waste. I think in France, they do a lot to limit the amount of food waste. They encourage shops to give to food banks. And also to create like little cabinets or to have ugly fruit and vegetables. I think a lot of European countries are trying to do this. And there's a lot of different startups also getting into this, raising awareness and offering solutions like ugly fruit and vegetable boxes and stuff like this. So actually, to create awareness about this food waste, he went dumpster diving. And in some major cities, he had hundreds of people. They all went to the dumpster diving and they had a big like picnic in a park. So he was trying to raise awareness and say, hey, look, this good quality food is just being thrown away because maybe it has a little scratch on it or maybe some bits are a little bit old. But mostly a lot of the food is still edible and still in good condition. So he also does public speaking where you can see a lot of his videos about his different projects. He also does a lot of extra community work. So he helps a lot of grassroots environmental nonprofits, including he gives the proceeds from all his books and TV shows or sales to these grassroots organizations. And this includes indigenous and women-led organizations. He's also the founder of like a community fruit trees, free seed project, and gardens for the people. So through these programs, he's helped thousands of people gain access to healthy homegrown food and increase their quality of life. So I've actually seen a lot of these videos. I've got a lot of tips and I use this in my garden myself, especially where we grow tiny tomatoes, cucumbers. I tried capsicum, but it's very difficult here in Germany to grow capsicums. So I only got a few of them. Then we also have strawberries that we're growing and what else we got? I am trying to grow some celery from the stalk. So there's a lot of tips and I guess a eco-friendly environmental way of living. Grow your own food and rely less on the industrial food production. So I think that's great. Three resources to help you on your journey. Alrighty, we'll catch you in the next episode.